Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all. I'm Adam Walker.
And I'm Sanjay Parekh.
We're glad to be joining you.
Yeah, exactly.
At Prototype Prime.
It's another great day here at Prototype Prime.
Every day
recording
is.
Every day is.
A great day at Prototype Prime. What events do you have coming up here?
We've got a great event coming up in a couple of weeks on June 14th in the evening. We've got Refresh South coming back again.
Nice.
We've got Alan Grant, and I don't know if you know that name, but Alan was a Georgia Tech student, now alumnus.
Right.
Graduated from here. He's one of the co-founders of Hired.com.
Oh, nice.
And they've raised something like $113 million, $120 million
okay.
in funding.
So I should come and ask him for a loan.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, the company has the money. He doesn't have the money directly.
You know, potato, potato.
Exactly. But he's a great guy. He's had a number of startups. And it's going to be a very interesting and insightful time.
Nice.
Fireside chat with him. So tickets are available. I think we're going to be charging something for him. I don't know what. It might be $5,
just
$10,
not
much.
Look on the website and
yeah.
It out.
So go to refreshsouth.com to RSVP. There's going to be limited tickets for this. So do it now.
All right. So in this episode of Tech Talk, y'all, we're going to discuss omnidirectional tires, Norway's doomsday vaults, which is fascinating in and of itself. Congress is using Sanjay's favorite app, or at least has permission to use Sanjay's favorite app. Long Game, which is an interesting app in and of itself. Bitcoin for retirement. Warby Parker has a new interesting app. And parking reservations through an app as well. And at the very end, we're going to talk a little bit about some apps for productivity. Everybody seems to like our app recommendations, and we're going to have a little discussion about productivity. So let's get started. Omnidirectional tires.
Okay, so if you don't know what these are, if you have not seen this, you need to watch the video.
It's 'cause amazing.
Whatever we describe will not give it justice.
So imagine a car moonwalking. That's what it looks like to me. Like, when I saw the video, I thought, the only point of reference in my mind for anything that looks similar is Michael Jackson moonwalking across the stage. Like, that's what it
reminds me. They should totally call these MJ wheels.
Yes!
That's what they should be. Yeah. So the car can go sideways. It can rotate around.
In a circle.
It's unbelievable. So it can basically, it has all degrees of freedom. It can move any which way that you want.
So,
and they can retrofit any car. You don't have to have a special car for this.
Yes. So basically it's a tire and it looks like a regular tire and it rolls forward on your car like a regular tire, but the tire has the ability to basically fold over on itself and move you laterally side to side as well, which is unbelievable. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen to watch.
It's freaky.
It's amazing.
I don't understand what is happening when
you watch
that
video.
You
need to look up, just Google it or go to the show notes, omnidirectional tires. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah. You think your mind is blown right now just listening to us. It's not. You
got
to watch it. It's amazing.
Yeah, we're not mind-blowing.
When are we going to get this on our cars, though? I totally want this right now.
I mean, you know, it's going to make parallel parking way more fun. You know, like, you can get super close to somebody, and, you know, like, you can get out, but they can't.
Right.
It's just kind of mean, right?
But yeah. I mean, you might be able to more densely pack cars and stuff.
For sure. And
that.
Everybody wants to do that.
Exactly.
So I thought that was fascinating. I really enjoyed that. Very related to it, Norway has more than one doomsday vault. Did you know this?
So I didn't know that. I thought they only had the one, the seed vault.
Yeah.
So there's
have an archive vault too. A different vault.
For books?
They've got like a special film that stores data that's rated to last for up to 500 years. So I guess they're assuming that if humankind wipes itself out, will we evolve within 500 years and be able to use it? I'm not real sure. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Based on what's happened in the seed vault, I'm not so certain as the, archival vault is going to be safe.
Well, I think the article made it out to be a big deal. So there's a seed vault in Norway where they're storing seeds so that, you know, if there is a nuclear disaster and all of the crops get wiped out, we have like something to start back with.
Right. So it's all the seeds of everything.
Of everything. In every type, variety and every, you know, whatever.
And the reason why Norway is because it's cold. And
it's below
they're
freezing.
In the permafrost so that it would save the seeds.
But now the permafrost is actually melting into the seed vault. Now, what it
because
did say later...
Because of climate change, which is why they did
which
the
is why
seed
they did
vault.
It in the first place. Right. What's fascinating
there
is...
There you go.
They made it out to be a big deal, but in reality, water melted into like the doorway and then refroze. So it wasn't really a big deal, but it is kind of, you know, like...
Mwah,
you made the vault to protect against global climate change, and now it's global climate change that's threatening it, which is
So there's no
fascinating.
So basically your best doomsday vault is maybe in outer space.
Yes, it's in outer space.
Yeah,
that's
maybe you need to launch something that just kind of circles around.
Somebody has to be doing that.
You think?
For sure. Somebody is thinking, hey, let's put some seeds in space. There's no doubt about that.
Do you watch the I was just watching today actually the final episode. Did you watch the show The 100?
I did, yeah.
That's
a
great show, and it's
like
somewhat,
space. Yeah,
it's kind of like this.
They're surviving
in
space.
Yeah, we don't want to spoil the show for any of you that haven't watched
but
it.
But we're going to dialogue about that later, because that was amazing.
Yeah, okay.
So, all right, so next, Congress has permission to use Sanjay's favorite app. Sanjay, what is that app?
It should be not just my favorite app, it should be everybody's favorite.
But what is that
app?
Signal!
So they've been approved by the Senate Sergeant at Arms that Signal is a good app to use. And so I think that just is further evidence that if you are not using Signal, you should be using Signal.
Right.
It is the safe way to communicate with one another.
For sure.
If it's good enough for Congress, it is good enough for you.
Man, that is a scary, scary mantra right there.
It is, isn't it?
I think we should be above Congress.
Well, I think ideally, but you know that they do all these kinds of things and repeal stuff, but leave it intact for themselves. So if it's good enough for Congress, it's good enough for the rest of us, right?
I see. Yeah, that
I think
works.
That's true.
I'll let you get away with it this time.
That's the first time ever you're going to let me get away with something.
No, Signal's a great app. Signal's, and you know, Sanjay has recommended it, I think, at least two different episodes so far. So now we're on three
trifecta,
or four
trifecta right here.
Talking about it. So it's great.
We're not going to get a triple crown winner this year. So instead, we got a trifecta for Signal.
There you go. For Signal. We're all about Signal. You're not an investor in Signal, are you? Should we be disclosing it?
I wish I was. Okay. I think it's like open source. They don't. Yeah. I don't know if they
Those
make any money on it.
Crazy open source communities, man. I'll tell you what.
Maybe they make money somehow.
It.
You know, because WhatsApp uses the Signal encryption technology.
Does it?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's the same technology. I wonder if they got paid for that.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Somebody should get paid for something.
Facebook makes a lot of money, so you would think that they'd shell out a couple of bucks for it.
You'd hope so. Like throw them a bone.
Yeah.
You know, here's some candy, guys.
There's been a lot of open source projects that don't get the support that they need, and then we discover security things, and then everybody's like, oh, wait, why is that not funded? Like the Heartbleed, the SSL Heartbleed exploit.
Yeah.
You know, that's an open source project, the secure socket layer technology for web stuff. And everybody after that was like, oh, maybe we should donate to this, right? Maybe we should make this more secure since it's running like 90% of the internet.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of running, it actually has nothing to do with running 90% of the internet, but Long Game. So we have this article. Long Game is a savings account lottery ticket, which I just found fascinating.
It's interesting.
Now it's not like for the state lottery though. It's like their own independent lottery, which was also really interesting, right? And the idea is they're trying to draw people away from the state lotteries to use their savings account and have sort of a chance at winning their own internal lottery, which has a max of $1 million.
Right. So you don't actually spend money on the lottery tickets. You deposit money with them, so they're a bank.
Yep.
You get paid interest, but it's way lower interest than what you'd get at a regular.
Hey, listen, it's 0.1%. I mean, you know.
Big money. Let's rain money, buddy.
It's going to be great. You know, that's what we want. I want some 0.1% earnings with that.
Yeah, I think most banks are paying like 1% right now, right?
Well, you know.
Around 1%.
Listen, they're trying. Okay.
Yeah. So instead, they take, I guess, that other 0.9% fund a lottery type of thing there.
Right.
Here's my issue with this whole thing. This is not going to solve the problem that they claim that they're trying to solve.
No, it's not going to solve
the
problem.
The people, like, I don't know about you. I do buy lottery tickets.
I don't believe I ever have.
Okay, so I know there's almost zero chance that I'm going to win. My calculation when I buy a lottery ticket is that, hey, the money's going towards education. I'm okay with a voluntary tax on this.
Okay.
And it's fun.
I like
that. It's a little bit of fun. It's
my
okay.
My education appreciates that.
Exactly. Right. And well, I think all of us should appreciate that.
Yep.
Even if you don't have kids or even if you're not going to school,
it
helps kids in our state
go to school
and be smarter, hopefully stay here and help bring the state up economically.
Right.
So, okay, there's that. So for me, it's not that big of a deal if, playing the lottery.
Right.
The people that they're worried about are the people that are on the lower end economically
that
are playing
the lottery.
And they're playing with cash. And most of them, honestly, a lot of them are unbanked, right. So they don't have bank accounts.
Right.
Do we really think that because of this, they're going to stop playing the lottery and then deposit their money into banks instead?
No.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No. They're going to siphon off a very small percentage, and they may make some money doing it, but no, they're not going to get a significant
portion. It's not going to make a dent in the issue.
No.
And the issue being people that don't understand math and odds playing and spending tons of money on the lottery.
Speaking of odds, I like to read lines out of articles that stand out to me. So the line out of this article is, while Long Game touts the $1 million prize possibility, so far its largest check they've written is $1,000. Like the actual lottery, it's an odds-based game, and the chances of the app making you a millionaire are 1 in 227 million.
227 million.
I mean, you know, somebody's got to win, question mark? Whatever.
Have you ever won anything in a game like this?
I have been given lottery tickets for gifts, and I do not recall ever having won anything.
But any kind of sweepstakes or anything else like that?
No, I can't say that I have. No, so I'm not a lucky sort of dude, apparently, other than
but you got to be in it to win it. You can't win if you don't get into it, right?
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
So I won once. Okay. I won like $1,000. It tells you how long ago it was. A Palm Pilot package.
Whoa!
I got like a Palm Pilot 3 and a little modem.
Pilot.
Yeah,
you were super excited about it.
I was,
you were
actually
skipping down the street.
Exactly.
The sun was shining.
I upgraded from like my Palm Pilot Pro or something to a 3 with a modem and all this stuff, keyboard.
Oh my gosh.
It was like $1,000.
I had a Palm Pilot keyboard. Totally remember that.
Yeah. It was the little fold out thing.
Oh yeah, man. The fold out thing. Oh, yeah. So great.
It was pretty awesome.
I thought it was amazing.
So I mean, people do win, but the probability of winning is pretty low.
So speaking of winning and speaking of investing money, you brought up an interesting article about investing in Bitcoin.
Yeah, so Bitcoin has taken off in the last couple of weeks, and this is a little bit of a crazy. At first, I thought it was a little crazy.
Oh yeah, you told me. You're like, this is nuts.
Digging into it a little bit, there's a little bit of sense, maybe. Uh-huh. Maybe. And we should preface all of this saying that we are not financial advisors. You should not take anything that we say as financial advice.
Right.
You should do your own due diligence.
In any way that we say.
Yeah, even app recommendations, you should probably not listen to us. So people, there's a IRA, an individual retirement account called Bitcoin IRA, where the money you put in, I assume they just go out and buy Bitcoin
right.
and hold Bitcoin in lieu of your money. And then you're just exposed to the ups and downs of the price
of the Bitcoin market. Right.
And presuming that they don't lose the Bitcoin, because that's been a problem too.
Right.
We had a company here in town that got a big Bitcoin company, BitPay. That got scammed out of, I think it was about $1 million in Bitcoin.
Whoa.
Which that's not good.
No, that's bad news.
Especially when that's your business. So, yeah. So here's where I think it starts to make a little bit of sense. A lot of people do Forex stuff, so foreign exchange. So they'll trade one currency for another
right.
and try to buy low, sell high.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of times, especially for me, I buy high and sell low. But right. For most people, they try to do the opposite. That's essentially what you're doing with Bitcoin,
right.
but also, you know, if you buy gold or anything else like that,
silver, right, yeah.
as a hedge against inflation and currency manipulation, essentially what you're doing here is you're saying, look, I trust the algorithms more than I do the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, that may not be too much of a stretch.
So
at this point,
or any central bank,
yeah, right?
Regardless of what country you're in, you know, whatever your central bank is, maybe you trust the computers and the algorithm more than the central bank. My feeling is like I would never want to put any significant amount of money
into something like this. Yeah.
You know, like
but probably not
more than a percent.
But then even just yesterday, right? You were telling me somebody gave you some Bitcoin and it's already like tripled or quadrupled in value, right?
Yeah. So when I got the Bitcoin, it was for one of these online sites, and that was
right.
their enticement. And it kind of harkens back to the day of PayPal. If you remember when PayPal just started, they would give everybody like $5 just to create an account.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they were shoveling money at this thing. They raised hundreds and hundreds of million dollars just to get the user traction, and it worked for them, right?
Right.
I don't think that trick works permanently. So this company, I think it was Circle.com,
okay.
that gave out these Bitcoin. I think it was $5, $8, $10 worth of Bitcoin. It might have been less. So it's just been sitting there, and I've been holding on to it, and I've not paid any attention to it because I don't use Bitcoin to buy anything. Well, now it's worth $50.
So it went from like $5 to $10 to $50.
Yeah.
In the span of how long?
I mean, less than a year.
Yeah, that's impressive.
A few months.
Yeah.
Type of thing. So, you know, if you look at what the Bitcoin IRA folks are saying, if you look at the monthly average return, the increase in value of Bitcoin, it's been about 30% over the last couple of years.
That's
so if you start doing the math,
shocking.
If you put $500 into Bitcoin and if it stays at that rate of 30% a month, in 3 years, you're going to have about $6 million.
Yeah. I gotta go. I'll be back in a minute. No.
How much does that island cost that you want to buy?
I don't know. That's a small island, so it could work. It's really the boat that gets to the island that I mentioned.
The boat's the expensive part.
Yeah, that's for sure. More than the island.
You need the mega yacht to get to the island.
Right, yeah.
So you're gonna need 4 years of the Bitcoin appreciation to get the mega yacht.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a fascinating idea, and
I can see you with the cat and the robe and stroking it like you're Dr. Evil.
Like a supervillain.
Like a bad guy from James Bond.
Okay, so I'm a supervillain now.
Supervillain.
So I think
you got the haircut for it.
Well, no, it's the guy with the top hat. That I would be the supervillain, right? Wasn't there a guy that threw a
He was top hat, but he was the henchman. He wasn't the main supervillain.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was Dr. No.
I can be a new
How do you not know your James Bond supervillains? You know, come on, man.
I'm all confused. It's been a long time since I've
It wasn't Dr. No. See, I misspoke. It was Goldfinger.
Oh, my gosh.
It was Goldfinger. Top hat worked for Goldfinger.
That's right. I do remember that now.
Yeah. Yep. There you go.
All right.
It was the razor sharp.
The razor sharp. That's what I'm going to have to do for my fedora. For those listening that don't know, I wear a fedora basically everywhere and am somewhat known for it. So, on a whole nother note. So speaking of wearing things, Warby Parker, the company that brought you, glasses by mail.
Hipster glasses.
Hipster glasses by mail. I didn't know they were hipster glasses.
I think they're hipster.
Okay.
I don't have any Warby Parker I don't think I'm hip enough to wear them.
We can fix that.
No, I'm not hip enough for that.
They have an app to help you check your eyes at home, right?
Well, not you. Only you if you're in a certain age range, live in certain states,
hey, listen,
don't have any
age.
Eye problems.
I hit the for now.
Do you?
For now. Yeah, you have to be like between 30.
25 and 40.
25 and 40.
Yeah, I'm not in the age range.
What? We're going to give you some grace on that. And 25 and 40, and you have to live in there's only three states that are demoing it in right now. And basically, you download an app. It works with your phone. Your phone syncs with your computer somehow. You stand 12 feet back. And basically, it ends up telling you if your subscription is still good, your expired one is still good or not.
Prescription, not subscription. Prescription.
Prescription, yeah. Thank you, is still good. Or expired, right?
Yeah.
And then if it's expired, you just got to go to the eye doctor anyway. And if it's not, you get a new one.
So the thing I worry about is when you have eye diseases that you don't detect because of this. Like your prescription could be the same,
right?
But if you're developing cataracts
what's the likelihood of that? That's what I'd like to know some statistics.
So that's probably why they did the 25 to 40 age range, right? Because generally there you're not going to have cataracts in that age range,
right?
Because mostly cataracts form because of ultraviolet light. That's why you should be wearing sunglasses when you're out in the sun. Because it slows down that development.
Hmm.
But then there's other things too, right? Like detached retinas and things like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I have a friend here in town that just recently had that, and they caught it and repaired it and all that stuff.
Yeah. Happened to my dad once. It's fun.
Bad news. Because if it happens, that's it. You're done.
Yeah.
And eyesight to me is the most critical. You don't want to have anything happen to you, but if you lose an arm or foot or something like that, at least you can still...
Yeah.
Kind of do things, but suddenly to lose your eyesight it would be a tough thing. I can't even imagine it.
But if you're some kid and you're super healthy and you're probably okay, then go get you can check out their app and see if it works for you and get your subscription.
Prescription. You have something with this being a subscription instead of a prescription.
Because it should be a subscription model for glasses. That's what I'm going to go invent that right now.
Yeah.
I'll
see I think you later. Warby Parker's already done that.
They probably have. Yeah. I think I'm late to the party.
You might be.
I usually am late to the party, actually, on most everything like that. I think, hey, this would be a great idea for something. And then I go look and I'm like, oh, somebody's already done that and they're making a killing.
Yeah.
That's great. Because couldn't have thought of that 3 years ago. What? I don't know. All right. So next. Parking reservations with Park Mobile.
So I don't think you need this if you've got omnidirectional tires. You can just park wherever you want.
Just go anywhere you want. Yeah. But if not, and you're still driving your car and you're not in an autonomous vehicle yet, reserving a parking spot with a mobile app is an interesting idea.
It is. And, some people do some kind of form of this, right?
Yeah.
You go down to the Fox Theater and you're going to an event, you can prepay for parking, which presumably means you have a reserve spot somewhere there. You still have to go hunt one down. but at least they don't oversell the spots there.
Yeah,
but this is more than that, right? This is not just for an event. It's any time of the day.
I think it's any time of the day. And what's fascinating is it at least implied that on the app, you'll be able to actually choose the spot. And what I want to know is how, because what happens when somebody pulls into that spot 10 minutes ahead of you?
Right.
Like, do you pull up the app and they try to, oh, I'm in spot A1, and they put in A1 and goes, oh, you got to move. Adam's coming. Like, what? Like, how does that work? And or do they move their car?
Do you have to wait for a tow truck or something?
Yeah,
then?
Do they move their car, or are they just going to go bail and just not care? You know, so it seems like there's a lot of
automated
problems.
Spike strips that come out and come in.
Man, that is dark.
Well, that would keep people from doing that. I mean, here in Atlanta, it still might not keep people from parking in your spot, but...
Automated spike strips. Oh,
automated spike strips, yeah.
That is dark. I don't even know how to respond to that. So anyway, it's just fascinating. And Park Mobile's whole app is fascinating. I mean, I use it constantly. I go down to Ponce City Market, pull out Park Mobile, you know, pay for my parking.
So I've never done that. I've done the little machine thingy.
Don't do the machine. It's a waste of your time.
Okay.
Nobody likes a machine kiosk. Just pull out the app.
So with the app, you say, okay, I'm here. And then if you stay longer, do you just from the app get to say I'm staying longer?
It sends you a little notification letting you know your parking time's about to expire. It also text messages you letting you know.
Okay.
And then you just go to the app and extend it for however long you're going to stay.
So that could conceivably save you money then, right? Because instead of saying, well, I might stay for 6 hours and then you only stay for one.
Yeah. Just start for 1 hour and then extend.
So do they charge anything on top of it? Because I saw one of these things somewhere where there was like an added fee on top of it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I think it's all streamlined and all built in and everything.
I'm gonna have to check this out.
And our buddy and guest host, you know, Jeff Hillemeyer, I mean, his company built the app, so we got to give them some props too. Dragon Army built that app.
Okay, so now we know that if the app crashes, we have to tweet at Jeff saying, "Dude, your stuff sucks.
Well,
what's going on?"
I don't know if I'd go that far. in that case, you didn't hear it from me. I'm a good secret keeper. So
we love you, Jeff.
We do. So moving on, I think we need to have a little discussion. So I tweeted out prior to recording this episode and just said, hey, you know, what do you want us to talk about on the episode? And one of the responses I got was, talk about some productivity software. And they mentioned Basecamp and Asana. And in different ones, and you know, what do we think about them, and kind of how we approach them? So,
yeah,
and I'm a little bit obsessive about productivity, and I've kind of been through a lot of different productivity apps, and sort of can play this from the personal side and from the business side. And so, I'll give a little bit of my experience and a little overview, and then you can do the same. How about that?
Yeah, works.
All right, so I'll start. So,
go.
So for personal productivity, I used to use OmniFocus. I'm a big getting things done fan. I really like David Allen's approach with that.
Right.
And OmniFocus just didn't develop fast enough. Just didn't increase features. The UX was still kind of clunky, and they came out with a 2, and just it was
a paid app.
Very, very paid. Yeah, I mean, I probably paid hundreds of dollars over the course of many years. And so then I looked at Todoist, and Todoist is just rock solid, great UX, yearly subscription that's not very expensive, like $39 for the year.
Yep.
And has all the features that OmniFocus had and more in a much better interface. And so it goes on all of my devices for the $39 a year. Done
yep.
deal. I'm sold. I'm a big fan. I think I might have written a blog post about it. I don't remember. So that's kind of my personal productivity app that I particularly love.
Hold on. So do you use Todoist? Do you share with other people so they can do tasks
I'm
with
not
you, or is it
that
just
advanced
you?
Yet.
Okay.
I need to, because there's certain types of tasks that I need to share with other, like it'd be nice if my wife was on it and then I could share tasks with her. And
right.
Other like other people that work for me, it'd be nice if I could share tasks with them. But I haven't quite gotten to that level yet.
Okay.
But I'm working on it.
Gotcha.
So then for my team, so my company is Sideways 8, and for my team, we started out in Basecamp. We were in original Basecamp. We ended up in Basecamp 2. And we were there for a while, and then we moved over to Teamwork, teamwork.com, and we're still in Teamwork, and we like it because it had a lot more features than Basecamp, but the problem with Teamwork is that, while it does have a lot of features, it's still a bit clunky, and to
right.
me, the UX of something really matters in terms of, do I enjoy using it? Does it make sense? Is it intuitive to my team? And Teamwork's not making leaps and bounds on that. Basecamp 3 has come out. To be quite honest, it's super tempting to me to look at it, though I'm going to resist that temptation because I think my team might murder me in my sleep. So, but that's what we use, and I like it. Asana is interesting in that it's a very task-based app. So it's not so
right.
much project timeline-based. It's more like tasks and threads underneath those tasks, discussing them and whatnot.
Yeah.
So.
So that's interesting. So I've never used Teamwork, but I do use Asana, and I use it with a team. So we use it at Georgia Tech.
Oh, yeah? How do you like it?
I use it here at Prototype Prom. I like it. I think there's a lot more value as you have more people on the team.
Right.
And being able to see kind of what else is going on. One of the things I do also like about Asana is that you can have a template project.
Right.
And so if you're doing the same thing over and over again, so like, for example, we have events that happen and some of the same things are important, right? You got to line up caterer, you got to get a spot, you got to get handout materials, all that kind of stuff. That can just auto-populate. So you kind of have this checklist going.
Right.
And then as you discover there's new things for the checklist, you can put it in the template and then you've got that again and you just duplicate that.
Yep.
And create that project. So I feel like it works pretty well. And then obviously apps on all the devices, right? So I've got it on the phone, I've got it on the wherever. And
how's the app on the phone? Because that's actually one thing about Teamwork, that the mobile app is just kind of okay. You know,
yeah.
Now, Teamwork does have template projects, like you said, so that's cool. But the mobile app experience is just sort of okay.
Yeah, so I don't use the mobile app extensively. I use it for just kind of checking off stuff and things like that, and just seeing if new things have been assigned to me or if other people have gotten things done that I was waiting on them for. I'm really more of a on the laptop, desktop kind of guy of doing those kinds of things.
Right.
So we use that. Slack, we haven't even mentioned yet, but we're huge.
Yeah, you got to use Slack. Absolutely.
We're huge Slack users.
Yes. I hate internal email.
Yeah.
Hate it. Slack
so
all the way.
At Georgia Tech, we've been using this for the CreateX program, and it's even bigger than that. So we have all of the student teams that come on, all the students that take any of the classes. So
nice.
We've probably got, I don't know, 600-700 people on the Slack group, and then we set up channels,
yep.
Private channels for each one of the programs.
That's
so that those folks can talk to one another. And I think that has been great. It's made it easy for them to get access to me as well as the other folks involved in the program and be able to just send us one-liners.
Yep.
I think it's obviously a lot less formal than email,
yep.
So it's a lot less to read because people will just ask you the question they want to ask you rather than, hey, sorry to bother you, da 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 da.
Man,
you got
to
read through all
point.
This junk just to get to the point.
Just get
right?
to the point.
So so there's that. I use Todoist like you do,
okay.
So I won't belabor that. But the other thing that we've been using lately is Trello.
Oh, I love Trello.
Yeah, so Trello is pretty good. We've been using it for tracking our team. So we've got the program down at Georgia Tech. We've got these this big cohort of 30 startup teams.
Right.
And they're broken up into four little batches. And then I've got one batch that's assigned to me as well as a co-coach with me. And so we use that. So we've got a card for each one of the teams. And then each one of us puts notes in there.
Nice.
So any one of us, if we want to sit down with a team, we can go through the notes real quick and just kind of see where they're at, catch up on what's happening,
right.
Kind of what we internally want to kind of dig on with them and figure out. And this is all notes internally to the coaching staff. The teams never see any of this.
Right.
But we use it as a way of kind of just managing everything. And I think for the next season of this same program, I'm going to take it one step further. We use Wufoo for our forms.
Okay.
So that's and that integrates. Well, it doesn't actually integrate with Trello.
Okay.
So Wufoo is the form thing.
Right.
So that's how we do our applications. We then are going to use Zapier,
yep.
which connects different web services together. So Zapier will take Wufoo, and as new entries happen, so as new people apply, it'll automatically create a card
yep.
in Trello. And so I'm planning on using this to kind of manage as people go through the process
mm-hmm.
of interviewing with us. So once
Love
they've
it.
Applied, then there'll be another list for, interview scheduled, then another one for interviewed, and then accept and reject.
Right.
So that way anybody can look at this and know exactly how many do we have in each category, what do we need to do next with each one of the teams.
That's great.
And then we'll transition from that into the actual program, and we'll take all the ones that are still accepted and then move them into batches so that we'll get a complete life cycle from when they start talking to us to when we start dealing with them and they exit the program.
Yeah.
So I think if you start piecing these things together and use tools like Zapier or IFTTT
yep.
and start piecing some of these tools together, they can become a lot more powerful depending on your use case.
Yeah, I mean, IFTTT, if this, then that, is a fantastic tool that you can download and use from your phone or use their app on the web as well. And you can do all kinds of weird stuff. Like I saw one in there the other day, which was basically if someone tags your photo in Facebook, auto save it to Dropbox.
Right.
So you got a backup of all the photos you're tagged in.
That you're in. Like, yeah. That's
like
a good idea.
Just random crazy stuff like that. And you can do like thousands of different permutations of stuff like that. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So if this, then that, IFTTT.
I love it.
Check that out.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So that's like 14 different apps that we just recommended. So we won't have to make an app recommendation for like another 8 episodes.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to tag all of these things in the show notes so people can find all
this
stuff.
That's going to take eternity. Okay, yeah, we'll do that. We'll set some links in the show notes to all this stuff.
Hopefully you've signed up for our email so that you get the show notes automatically in your inbox. Even if you don't listen to the episode, you should absolutely do that. Go to our website, Tech Talk Y'all, and you can subscribe.
TechTalkY'all.com and subscribe.
TechTalkY'all.com. It's always the .com.
And subscribe. So let's wrap up. Let them know how they can find us. So first of all, let me say thank you for listening. If you do like this episode and you like this podcast and anything else, we would love a review on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever else. We'd also love for you to tweet about it, make a recommendation to your friends, let them know about the show, and just support the show in that way. I'm Adam. You can find me at adamjwalker.com. That's where I blog about productivity and other fun stuff. I'm also on Twitter at ajwalker.com. And other places and various other monikers.
And I am Sanjay Parikh. I'm at Sanjay, S-A-N-J-A-Y. I've got a blog, but you shouldn't look at it yet. One day you will.
Every day,
we forgot to mention one thing is that just yesterday, so we're recording this on Friday, just yesterday, Thursday, Adam and I went down to 11 Alive and we recorded a segment for Tech Edge.
Yep.
I think we talked about this last time, 2 weeks ago on the episode. So if you're listening to this on Monday, I don't know what day of the week, what day of the month that is. What's Monday?
I have no idea. But if you're listening to this on Monday, it aired yesterday.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
So Monday, May 29th. If you're listening to this today, yesterday, the 28th on Sunday was the episode. If you did not catch it, I'm pretty sure they put it online.
Oh yeah, we'll be tweeting about it.
So you can catch it there as well. But thanks for listening, and we'll talk to y'all in 2 weeks.
Thanks.